Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanell here. It's good to see you boys. Good to see anyone. Lately?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen anyone else in person in the past 10 days, except for you guys.
Wow.
So that's good.
We've been in lockdown for three. My name's Adam Knox as well. And yeah, likewise, good to have a little bit of an interaction.
Yeah.
Yep. For who knows how much longer we'll be able to do this in the same room. Mm. I'm lapping it up.
Yeah.
Maybe about 40 minutes. I'm going to get up and leave angrily.
Yes, thank you for joining us. The show is on Patreon if you want to support the show. You can do that. Patreon.com/filthycasualspod. Yep.
Is our Patreon.
Get on there. We do an extra episode every week where we talk about films and TV and stuff, basically all kind of media that isn't video games.
Yeah.
It's time we start dropping that stuff up the top.
Yeah.
Letting people know what's out there.
Yeah, it'd be very handy for you, for us, I should say, if you got on and supported it. If you have never been a patron, you get access to every previous episode we've released on that feed, which is like 65.
There's heaps on there.
Because there's all the ones from before we were doing the weekly
That's a good point. It's like over 100 probably. Even if you can just support it for like the next few months, it'd be very helpful for us.
Of course, only do it if you can, though.
Yes.
Everyone's out there. And in that situation, we put up an extra Bandcamp thing. Filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Yep.
Everyone's got a different fucking way of doing it.
Yeah.
But that one's free. If you want it for free, you can just have it. And if you want to donate an amount while you buy it, you can. A pay what you want system that we invented when we released In Rainbows back in 2007.
Yes. Yes. The first ever Filthy Casuals episode, In Rainbows.
Honestly, we've gone downhill from there, I think.
It's getting a lot more solemn and depressing. Yeah. I wonder why.
I understand our fucking podcast reviews now if people are comparing it to In Rainbows.
Yes.
Yep.
Most of them are good, by the way. And if you want to leave us a good review... That helps us too.
Yes,
please,
it does.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I'd like to leave a good review on this podcast for a different podcast.
Oh.
I would like to give a 5-star review to the podcast Total Reboot, hosted by our friends Cam and Alexi. They would also very much appreciate your patronage at this time. It's a great show. I know we all do other podcasts or have done other shows, but I think of Total Reboot as our sister show.
Yeah, I agree.
It's our Sydney sister show. It's about movies. So if you like movies, go and listen to that. I highly recommend it.
A hotter, cooler Sydney sister.
Yes.
It's an adjacent city and an adjacent art form.
Yeah, yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go through each of our sister city podcasts.
Oh, yeah. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
The League of Extraordinary Filthy Casuals.
Yeah. Get out there and listen to some shit, obviously, and support them if you can.
Mm.
And thanks to everyone who's copped that new Bandcamp episode so far and said nice things about it. It was fun to do.
Yeah.
Ten games to hypothetically play if you were isolated.
Something like that.
Something words to that effect.
It's a long
Yeah.
It's been a long week.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Having trouble constructing sentences.
Yeah.
Everyone in the world at the moment has a lot of extra time on their hands.
Oh yeah.
Including the boffins in at the legal department of Nintendo HQ.
Yeah. spreading joy wherever they go.
Do you reckon, because the story is that in Dreams on the PS4, Nintendo is now pursuing legal action if they don't take down Nintendo related properties from those things. Do you reckon that is literally what happened, that a bunch of Nintendo people got home and they were like, fuck, well, I got to do something for a few weeks. I guess I'll try this dreams thing out.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Or even
Bowser?
sort of.
Even just the idea of like lodging the proceedings is going to take up a lot of time. So probably the thought was like, hey, you know what? Going back and forth with the lawyers. Mm. Decoding this legal mumbo jumbo. Yeah. Bring it on. I got all the time in the world. But also fighting the creators. Same goes for them. They've got all the time in the world to
What
like,
are you going
to
do? Put me under house arrest? Like, fuck.
I think it's the case that Sony technically has the rights to all of those things.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. It's like you don't own that intellectual property if you're on Dreams anyway.
So they're kind of going after Sony, who is now proactively taking down anything that has Nintendo-related shit in it.
Right.
Which was half of them.
Yeah.
Half of the things people were making on there was like, here's fucking Kakiri Forest from Zelda.
Yeah. Mm. And whatever. The other half is Bad Simpsons.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when Matt Groening finds out about this.
we speculated on the, or you guys speculated on the longevity of Dreams and people creating stuff on there and everything. And yeah, something like that. In a world where it can't just have anything that anyone's made on it, regardless of IP and all that kind of stuff, it... All of a sudden, whatever magic is there just kind of disappears, I think.
To some extent.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, those things that people were making of like, here's fucking Mario recreated weren't good in the first place for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is anything on there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Really. But like, they were part of the appeal is like, well, look at what this person's recreated. Mm. And that seemed to be most of what people were like going on about when they were posting articles of like, look at the crazy shit people have made in Dreams.
Yeah, totally.
It was generally, here's a Dreams version of fucking mad about you it or was,
whatever. It was rarely like, I think like the ideal world of Dreams is people are
high
making-
school, naked. Test is right now.
is making like a cool... better creative twist on an existing property.
Sure.
And no one was doing that.
Yeah.
Everyone was just doing, I'll make, you know, World 1-1.
Yeah, it's all recreate. Or it's like, here's Mario with a gun and swearing and all that sort of shitty Newgrounds humor again.
Yeah.
So, whatever. It from a copyright and, what's it called, intellectual property point of view, I think people should be allowed to do it. From a creativity point of view, go get them.
Yeah, this might force people to create brand new, original, interesting games.
It's Mario. Here he is. It's Mario with an erection. He's barred up. He hits all the blocks with his penis. Again, that's the shitty Newgrounds humor that I claim to hate and yet...
peddling daily. Yeah.
I'd love to see that in Nintendo's like reasoning for taking it down. Like they're like the creator arguing like, no, you know, this just it should be on here. It's like, for, you know, it's a
free artistic expression.
Yeah, and then they just go, that's not the issue. It's just that it's bad.
It's just
this is bad for our business. The idea that anyone would think that we made this is offensive.
Yeah.
Maybe that is part of it. Maybe that is why... no, it isn't.
No, it's not. But it should be, and it would be if I was Nintendo.
Yeah. I didn't say this on the show yet, but after you guys talked about it and gave it a big old panning, something about that really interested me. So I gave it a go, and I hated it just as much as you guys.
That's like, right. I think you mentioned... The one thing you said about it in our group chat was, well, I'm deleting Dreams.
It felt that was the best part of it, was realizing... all the extra hard drive space I'd have on the PS4 once I deleted it.
Mm.
Fuck, it was a good feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just scrolling through the list of stuff there and being like, oh, this thumbnail looks interesting. And then, I just wasn't doing anything more than playing 15 seconds of each thing to just work out, oh, yeah, this is boring.
Yes.
There was nothing that was hooking me in and making me go, cool, a good experience. It's just like, oh, yeah, they made that. Cool, the textures kind of look the same.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
But nothing in there that was actually fun.
I don't know if anyone can hear it in the background as well, but my dishwasher is currently going through some sort of cycle. So if you hear like a robot noise...
I thought that was a construction site.
No. Yeah, me too.
Just me building some clean dishes.
Nice.
My dishwasher's doing a little bit of crafting, you might say.
Uh-oh.
Maybe it's like... that's all I've got, but... It's crafting. Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
Did you turn that dishwasher on just to give yourself a segue mid-episode?
to set up the greatest segue of all time that we've ever had on the podcast.
Now, folks, you listening at home cannot hear this, but take our word for it. My dishwasher is on.
Sorry, everyone. You might have heard a shotgun blast there. Unrelated. Let's talk about... I put it on...
Adam, is your dishwasher running?
Yeah, it is currently.
Well, you better go catch it, mate.
Oh, fuck.
You've absolutely walked into one there.
You walked right into it.
So embarrassed.
You're going to have to keep your wits about you a little bit more than that in these coming times, my friend.
Fuck.
I've got nothing else to do but sit around and prepare in-person prank phone calls.
Maybe the art of the prank phone call will come back in all of this.
Yes.
You know everyone's at home.
Yeah. Every TV show other than Crank Yankers has had to suspend production.
Fuck, maybe we should pivot into being a prank call show. That's how we really capitalise.
Wouldn't mind it at all, just trying to call up Nintendo.
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's a me, Nintendo. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to send your lawyers after a me? I guess before we talk about the actual games we've been playing, another little bit of sort of news is that Steam and all that sort of shit is absolutely smashing records.
Oh yeah,
for concurrent players, which is expected.
Yep,
but also kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just exactly what was bound to happen.
I think it's that, but it's good for like, hey, some industries have to survive.
Yep.
And games are thriving, it sounds like.
Yeah, if I was running a server industry.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not as in real life serving.
No, you'd have to lay them all off.
Yeah, no, yeah. Hospo's not too... Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
I've had messages from a few friends in the last week being like, well, got a lot more free time.
Yeah.
I'm getting a Switch.
Mm. Well, it seems like everyone we know is playing Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Like, ourselves included.
Yeah.
I've been playing as much of it as I can, but it does sort of limit you per day.
Yes. At
mobile
least
in
the first few days.
In the first couple, yeah.
I think this is maybe what it meant, because I know when it was coming out and you were seeing reviews, Tommy, you were like saying that a lot of them are saying it takes a while to get going.
Mm. I read a review that said that it's one of even long-time Animal Crossing fans, be prepared for this one to be slower than normal. And my first thought was, fuck me dead. The last one felt so incredibly slow.
Yeah,
it felt like the beginning section took 6 years. So maybe it's just because I was braced for that. I actually didn't find the start of this one too bad compared to the last one I remember playing, which felt excruciating. Maybe it was just being prepared for it, or maybe it was having read that review, which kind of prepared me for the worst. But I didn't really, I didn't really find the start of it too bad. I kind of liked sitting down and having a session and it being, and then being sort of done for the day and being like, especially since Doom came out on the same day, and I was like, okay, well, now I've done that. I can put that aside, play Doom for a little bit.
Mm.
And then that was the day that we came around here and did the Bandcamp episode. So I kind of didn't mind being gated from it for a bit.
Right.
But I've been playing it every day. Mm-hmm. I've been playing a lot of it in stark contrast to what my life would have been. opening a comedy festival show this evening and not able to touch Animal Crossing without going into a severe panic attack about the amount of time I was quote unquote wasting when I should be working on my comedy show.
Yeah. Now you just can't touch any surface other than inside your house without a panic attack.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's changed a lot.
Yeah. Wow, what a different world. I've been having so much has been said about the timing of this game coming out, the themes of it, the infinite nature of it, coming along at just the right time with what's going on in the world. And I really have been finding it just a real oasis in my day.
Yes.
Really calming.
This is my mindfulness exercise every day, is playing this. It's so, I'm loving it. I think I'm maybe a day behind you, Tommy, I think.
Yeah, I started it on Saturday as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So
feels
like
I'm in a different time zone to everyone else.
Yeah. Like I've got a house. I've just expanded it in size.
Okay. So I haven't done that yet.
I haven't done that.
This really?
This is the thing. I started the day it came out, but I'm still, because I kind of underestimated the amount that I could do on the first day. So there was a couple of things that I could have gone and sort of had on the go. Because there's a lot of stuff that you set up and then it's like, this will be open tomorrow or the next day or whatever it is.
We should say, if you've never played Animal Crossing before and you don't know too much about it, it is like simulating a cute little life on an island.
Yes.
And the gist of the game is that you do these sort of not meaningless, but like
mindless
and, yeah. And sort of directionless
yep.
tasks. Yep. You just are kind of left to figure out what you want to do with the island. You will get some direction of like, hey, this guy wants to build a museum, or we need to build more houses for these visitors here, or things like that. That'll give you a little bit of thrust. But the main thing of it is you setting yourself a task, saying, I want to build this little bench or whatever.
Yep.
I need to find these resources. Oh, my trees are all expended and I cut a whole fucking bunch of them down because I just wanted everything to look flat and empty in my island. I wanted to get rid of... The first thing I did was get rid of as many weeds as possible.
Oh, yes. That, yeah, oh yeah, that is...
That's my morning chore.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I cut down every tree in the in the non-river part so that I could set up my own little farms and forests and stuff
right.
that I run to every day, which I'm in the process of doing.
Yes.
And anyway, you go through your island, you set yourself a little task and you just live a little island life.
Yeah.
This nice little calm village.
It's more or less, it's a lot of the things that you hate about real life presented in a fun way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have chores to do. You have a brutal home loan to pay off. Like, you have all these little things that you are trying to use video games as escapism from.
Yeah.
But you very easily get sucked into them and it's just the whole package of it, the style and everything is just so charming and just fun to be in. So this game...
But genuinely, I think the only difference between this and real life with those chores is that there's a nice little sound whenever you do anything in this. And if your fucking bank app did that fun little noise every time you paid off a bit, I'd be more inclined to do it.
I think the distinction is, for me, I don't mind doing chores in real life. Mm. So this is, like crack cocaine for me.
Yeah.
But also stuff
the
like
that...
The
thing that he takes before he does chores. So he can do as many of them as possible at once.
They're achievable. Like, they're achievable in a short space of time. So, like, the home loan thing, you just got to go catch some fish and you can pay it off in a day. Like, there are these real-life chores and tasks and things that it sets in front of you in a cute way. But you can knock them off if you just work hard.
Well,
and by work hard, I mean hit a button repetitively.
Yeah.
You can get creative with how you approach those things as well, which is fun for me, where you have... So, there's two forms of currency. You've got your bells... And you've got your Nook Miles.
Yeah. So let's quickly set up, because this one, the way this differs from previous ones in the series, previous ones in the series would set you up in a town that's already pretty heavily populated.
Yeah, true. Or,
yeah, so that it's just you've moved to this town and life in the town is kind of already happening.
Mm.
This one, you've moved to a deserted island. There's only two other people that live there. There's bits of
and
the island.
And they're moving in with you. They don't
and
they're moving
yeah, 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 yeah. You start in a tent, you build a house, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Slowly builds up.
There's bits
of
the island.
I hate one of my villagers, by the way. Every time I run into her, she's like, fancy running into you again. I've seen you a lot lately. Fucking hell. Do you want to talk again? What are you fucking... Jesus, she looks so happy when I leave.
Both of mine are idiots. One of them is an exercise-obsessed crocodile.
I've got an exercise-obsessed koala, but he's fat as fuck.
That called me Munchie all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey, Munchie. And the other one's a dumb as fuck rooster or chicken.
Right.
That just says chicky poo a lot. annoying.
They've all got their little phrase that they do. Yeah. Chips is what my koala says, which is why he's not, the working out for him isn't going as well as he.
I've got a deer that calls me Precious. And I was playing with my girlfriend and she was like getting jealous going, is that deer hitting? Like thought that I had somehow like made that happen in the game. Like she's like, have you been trying to fuck that deer before you've shown me this game? I'm like, no.
What's with this dog calling you sexy?
But so I didn't really realize that.
That's what your girlfriend sounds like, by the way.
Yes.
Hey. Yeah, you've nailed it.
Hey.
I didn't really realize this until I saw a couple of other people post stuff online that the villages that you get at the start when you turn it on are random.
Yeah.
And you also have a native fruit growing on your island that is also random.
One of six or something?
Yeah.
Five or six?
Mm.
So you have bits of the island that you can't get to yet until you unlock a vaulting pole to go over rivers and a ladder to go up kind of higher bits. And then, you basically... The guy moves in who wants to open a museum. Before he can open the museum, you need to find him 15 different unique samples of fish or insects or fossils from around the island. So the other big change is the splitting the currencies. I think this is the best new thing about it is the Nook Miles.
Yeah.
That is so fucking addictive.
I love it because, like, so the Nook Miles, the bells are normal. You sell whatever the fuck you've got.
Yeah, bells are just money, just normal money.
Yeah, that's how you pay off your home loan at some point, and they're the same as they've been in other ones. But the Nook Miles you earn by getting achievements, basically.
Yes. Mm.
And there'll be a string of random ones up the top after you buy an extra little add-on for your thing, which will be like, do some fishing or whatever.
Cut gives down you two trees.
Right, and it gives you some direction if you want it.
Yeah.
And then there's some staple ones that as you do those tasks, they reveal themselves.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, hey, you fucking caught 10 fish,
mm-hmm.
now catch 50 and we'll give you more Nook Miles.
And it's they're presented as little loyalty cards, you get a little stamp. Obviously, everything about the presentation of this is perfect.
Yeah, it's like so sound. Moorish. Like that little ding going off on your phone to tell you that you've gotten it, like you catch an insect.
On your in-game phone, little, you've got an in-game.
Yeah.
There'll be a little ding that, and then the like the little sound of it validating and giving you the points.
Because
I think that's what made it feel quicker to me at the start is that the first bit of your home loan of paying off just your tent, you pay off with those Nook Miles, which I think in the last one I played, you paid it off with bells. Yeah.
And I think it's just to teach you the new system while you're doing that first. Yeah.
But it felt like it took ages to get the enough apples and everything to pay off that first bit of the home loan, as opposed to this where it's just like you get Nook Miles so quickly at the start because it's just like, hey, you saw your first fish.
Yeah.
You shook your first fish. All this stuff that you do for the first time, you rack them up so quickly.
You got your first Nook Miles. You get some more Nook Miles.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's a fun little reward system that then you're not... Because one of the problems with just having bells is that you wanted to buy furniture and shit. Because the core of the game for me is like a collecting game.
Yeah.
It's like Pokemon or something where you kind of want to have one of everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
You want to build one of every little fucking table. Or even if you don't want it,
you
just want to tick off all those little boxes to make your island the ultimate hoarder island. And the Nook Miles give you a second way to do that. So you can pay off your home loan with all of your money if you want and then still be buying little things with your Nook Miles.
Yes.
Or you can most usefully use them to buy a plane ticket to what I think is a randomly generated island.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And you can go to that one to get more fruit. And I so far they've all been pears, which is the same as my island.
What? Really?
Same for me. They've all been apples. Oh. Same as mine. Yeah.
Have your islands had different fruits on them?
Yeah. I think the second one I went to had peaches, but I'm a cherry.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I needed a lot of wood to build something and I didn't want to like chop down my trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you don't have to chop them down if you got a stone.
I didn't realize that at the time, but I was like, "Oh man, I don't want to level out my island."
Wrong.
And there was something very nice about going. I hate to say it, very nice going to a faraway place and being able to fuck it up and act with absolute impunity. Really get in there and just Captain Cook it up. Just absolutely fuck the place up with no fear and just bring everything back.
Bring it back to Nestle Island.
Pillage the absolute shit out of the joint and then hop on the plane and go home.
Yep.
And also you meet... There's also like a random villager.
Mm.
Yeah, just out there camping and having a good time.
And you can
like,
convince them to move to... onto your
Oh, really? How do you do that? I just went up and talked to them.
You talked to them twice. Yeah.
It's the answer for most stuff if you can't figure it out. Like that seagull on the beach.
Yeah.
You talk to him 10 times and he wakes up. That sort of stuff. Just keep talking to people.
Yeah.
Even people walking around your town, if you talk to them a few times, they might go, oh, by the way, I was trying to do this, but I didn't have enough wood. Do you want to bring me some wood? I'll give you a present.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that. I think one of the early Nook Miles things was like, talk to everyone in your village every day.
Yeah.
So I do that. Like one of them gave me iron ore, which was very helpful.
Yep.
I'm finding like I've only got like 4 rocks in my island.
Yeah.
So I keep going to the random islands to
That's
get
what I've been doing
ore.
Too. Yeah.
Are you hitting the rocks multiple times?
Yeah, like five or six.
Yeah, you can hit them for basically every square that's around.
Yeah,
the rock.
Yeah. Because like I've done a bunch of stuff. I guess I didn't realize that. Like I got a house and I've expanded it already, and I've already set up. I think the next stage of it, maybe?
There's 3 villager houses as well that at some point Tom Nook asks you to start building.
Yeah, they've got houses.
Cool. Because you've got to furnish them with certain things.
No, new people that are moving to... Have you had anyone new move to your island?
No.
Right, so that's the next thing that starts to show up.
I did the museum.
Yep.
And oh my God, walking into the empty museum for the first time and like, I get to fill all of this with fish and fossils and bugs.
I love
this. Let's speed this up. My museum's opening today. So if we could get this on the... So
that is honestly like one of the most calming experiences I've had in video games ever.
Yeah.
Like walking in there with this pure sense of like, This is my job.
Totally. Well, literally now. But there's thousands and thousands of little things for you to do that are all nice and satisfying and calming and relaxing. They're simple and non-confrontational.
Yep.
Everything's just a pleasant little cruise. Not a literal cruise because they're horrific now, but just a nice little ride through a completely distracting game that is perfect for the moment. Yeah. And it does give you a nice way to encourage you to come back every day that doesn't feel like those mobile games, even though it is, the design is similar. It doesn't feel exploitative because it's not charging you any money for anything.
Totally. Yeah, oh, man, I can't wait for the turnip market on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. And then anyway.
Have you guys seen the ghost yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I did him last night. You find him and he like...
You get to do him.
You scare him and he splits off into five different little bits that just kind of like then float around the island, and then you go find them, bring them back to him, and he says, I'll give you a gift. Do you want something expensive or do you want something that you don't have? Like something you've never seen.
What did you choose?
I chose something that I don't have.
I chose expensive and I hadn't had it because I didn't own anything expensive.
Oh. Yeah, I thought that might have been the case for me.
Got a little bunny hood.
A what?
A little bunny hood? A little rabbit hood?
Oh, fuck, I want that. Yeah. I just got like a little, what was it? What did he call it? I never knew this is what this is called. A party garter? The little
like the
thing
flags
that you hang on the wall with like little flags hanging
that's
off.
Bunting, isn't it?
Yeah, bunting. That's bunting. Maybe they have a different name for it.
Yeah, sure.
It kind of looks nice in my house, but I was like, oh, I wouldn't have. I don't know.
It's a very 25-year-old woman.
Yeah. I don't know. I was stressed about going to every corner of the map to find all these little spirit pieces if I'd known that that was... Anyway.
I've got fuck all in my house. I'm not... So this is a big mistake that I made. Felt very dumb. I wasn't checking what Timmy was selling every day.
Oh, okay.
He sells different stuff.
He sells different stuff. I didn't even know you could just go buy like a fishing rod.
Oh, okay.
Which is very dumb of me. But also encouraged me to get a lot of resources.
And that's the thing with the game is that you slowly just figure stuff out. Yeah. You keep talking to everyone and doing everything. I reckon don't look up any guides for this.
I haven't. Yeah, no. Yeah.
I didn't realize until relatively recently that on his sales page, there's a second page. That's got seeds and stuff on it to plant flowers and plant trees and all that. It took me, 2 or 3 days before I realized that was there. Right. I was having to like craft everything from scratch.
Because, you've got a crafting system where you're getting little tree branches and just shit that you get around the island or on the other islands. And you can make either furniture or your basic tools, which is like you can get a flimsy version of it and then you can upgrade it with some iron to make it a good shovel that'll last you a bit longer.
Which is annoying that it doesn't last forever. Like having a flimsy one that you can only have at the start that, you know, dies after 10 uses is fine. I wish that you could put the time in to get a permanently...
Maybe you can at some point.
Sure. Yeah, you might be able to.
These shovels at this point are like from the good set.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that means that there's a better one. At some point you probably get a fucking gold shovel or whatever.
Yeah, right.
That lasts you, or at least for ages.
Yeah.
But part of it is just constantly refreshing your stuff, managing your inventory. Because like when you go to another island, you want to make sure you have enough spare slots so you can bring lots home.
Just
clean
the place out. So my girlfriend's never played games, like never really been into them. And I was at her house the other day, and I was like, "Hey, this is dumb, but I've got my Switch on me, and I'm playing this fucking game that I need to check in on every day. Do you mind if I just do this 15 minutes?" And she's like, "Yeah, sure. I'm interested. Like, I'll watch you play it." All of a sudden, she gets sucked in and we're playing it for like 3 hours. She's like, "Can you do this?" And then I'm sort of explaining it. And she's like, "Oh, cool. Well, let's go over here and do this." And then the next day she's like, "Can you turn it on and see if the museum's built?" So now she's actually into it and like, "Can you not do too much?" Like last night I had a big night on it and she's like, "Fuck, I can't wait to see what, you know, all the stuff of..." Because I did the bit where I haven't finished it all off yet, but the new residents have moved to my island and I like chose where their houses are going to be, and you then have to build stuff before they can move in.
You're furnishing it for them before
they come and move in.
Sure.
So it all of a sudden gives you a whole bunch of new recipes that you can just use for your own place if you want. But it's like, this guy wants a wooden table and a wooden chair and a hay bed and then like a, you know.
Dream big,
TV. TV made out of an apple. Like, all this weird kind of stuff. But it was a really nice, relaxing thing to sit. It's an easy one to play with someone else because you're not really watching the other person playing it do anything too intricate or
it's very open and creative, where you can just spend a lot of time designing a t-shirt changing the stuff that's hanging on your walls to make your place look nice.
Yeah.
You really do kind of set your own goals, as much as there are other things that people ask you to do.
Mm.
You're pretty free to go just figure out what you feel like doing that day and do it.
It truly was like having a bachelor pad and bringing the girlfriend around for the first time. Like she comes, she's like, let me see your house. And she goes in, she's like, get rid of the oil barrel at the end of your bed. She's like, that tire in the front yard has to go. Get the nice flamingo and put it there instead.
You've just got a switch on your kitchen table. That's it.
That is very cute. That's one of the So what you can buy changes every day.
Mm. Yeah.
Refreshes every day. And it's different for every copy. It's right. It's kind of randomized for every copy. But the one consistency is... Everyone, when they start day one, you get given a little Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
It's like your first gift.
There's a very expensive Nook Miles purchasable Animal Crossing Switch as well.
Oh,
38,000 Nook Miles.
Oh, really?
Like the real world limited edition one that that they bought out last week. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is cool.
So the... You won't have done this, Ben. Mm. Have you done any of the online stuff, Adam?
Not really at this point. I kind of looked into it, but classic Nintendo style, it is unapproachable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It asks a lot of you in terms of interacting with real life people to get the codes and stuff you need, which I refuse to do.
It's not that bad by their standards, which is not saying much at all. So
it's not as simple as just knowing someone's friend code already?
You're probably better.
So you go to the airport where you get dropped off,
mm-hmm.
and let's say I want to have you round to my island.
Mm-hmm.
You open the gates. You can choose to have.
I believe there is an option for if you have each other's friend codes that you have kind of open access.
Oh, okay, that's good.
I think so.
Yeah, so it's I think what it is
when it's open, you've decided to open your gates.
Yeah.
If you have each other's friend codes, you can just go around there.
That's good.
If you've never been to mine before though, regardless of if I've got you as a friend on the console, I need to get a little 6-digit code and I give it to you. You then go to the airport. You come in. Then we can just kind of run around together.
And that's a one-time use code.
Right.
For one person. That gives one person one entry, I believe.
I can either say, I only want people I know, or I can say, I want whoever has this code to be able to come in.
But that code only works for that time that you've got the gates open.
Yes.
And when they shut.
And then when they shut, I need to go and get a new code.
Right.
Yeah. So it's only for that current point in time.
That session.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But so I could... If I don't care who comes in, I can get the code, get on like Twitter or whatever and go, hey, anyone who's playing Animal Crossing, my island is now open for the night. Just come around.
It's that fucking step again.
Yeah. I know.
Where
I know.
It's like you can sort of do this, but they're going to make you go somewhere else so that they're not liable. I don't know.
Yeah, it's odd. Like compared to like a PlayStation system where you just like tick all your friends and send an invite.
I'm not too sure because I literally have no friends on the Switch or in any other part of my life. But I just don't tend to bother doing it.
Yeah. I've never used even a good version of this on the other consoles.
Right. It's just not my thing really that often. But it would be nice to have the random multiplayer is my point because that's the thing I like doing.
Oh, right.
I like having just, hey, do multiplayer with whoever's around right now. Don't make me fucking choose anybody.
Just matchmake
and that
a random person.
Isn't so much an option without going to some third party thing.
Yeah. Yes. But once you're on my island, Ben, I can add you to an in-game friend list where I think then the next time I can then see when you're online in the game. And I think if I want you to come around, I believe I can send you a thing that just says like, hey, come around, like in the game. And if you're playing, it'll just pop up on the screen.
At some point you can build it a little bit and then you can have local multiplayer as well.
Yeah.
Where it's basically the same thing, but your Switches are nearby.
Yeah.
And there's some interaction between two people on the same console. This has been a sticking point for people as well. So you can have two people from different profiles on the same island on the one console. But the problem is that you need a primary person. So the first person who plays it, I guess, or the primary account on it or whatever, they're going to be the like town representative and they're the only one who can make progress in the town. So they're the only one who can donate iron ore and all that shit to build the town up and people are getting really bothered by that. That's not the situation that I'm in. I'm not playing with anyone else on the same console, but I've seen a lot of people complaining about that. I'm also in the position where I've got two Switches because I'm a fucking idiot, especially now. But I haven't tried it yet, but I'm interested to see what happens if I start up a new island on the other Switch. And will that just pretend like the other one's not there? And I don't know how any of that's going to work.
I don't really know. But it is...
You can't cloud save. You can't switch between them. You can't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So visiting other people's islands, in terms of like it, you can run around on there together at the same time. You can do text chat. And it's fun because you can go into their shop. They've got different stuff that you don't have on any given day.
Yeah. They'll have different fruits.
They'll have different fruits. So you can take a bunch of their fruit back to your island, plant it, and then you'll have those trees.
Mm-hmm. I think you can limit it as well, correct me if I'm wrong, to them just visiting and not being able to like chop down your trees and shit.
To be able to use the axe or the shovel... I need to add you to my best friends list.
Right.
Oh. So if you're just
too bad bitch.
So if you're just a random coming in, then you can't do anything to my island. But I was playing with my friend the other day and I had to like message him in the game and go, can you make me a best friend so that I can use my shovel on your rock and get
that's
iron?
I'm never going to do it. It's too humiliating. Nintendo, there's not a chance that I'm ever going to participate with that level of actual interaction.
Mine and I'll do it without you having to ask.
See, that's a true best friend.
Yes.
But it is. It's like in terms of like playing a thing online, you're not, you know, you can run around next to each other. You can't really interact with it. You know, you can't hit each other or really do it. But it's just, it's cute. You just like, you follow them to their house. You
show
look around at what they've got. You fish together. You give little
gifts if you want.
I think because
I don't have Nintendo Online, I don't think I ever got it. I maybe got the free trial.
Right.
I think what I want to do is make my perfect island, like build up everything and then invite people over. I don't want people to come see my empty house, a bunch of cherry trees.
Early on, it does feel... I've been doing it just out of necessity of like, you know, I was looking at Angus Truscott's island last night and I was like, oh man, where are all your rocks? Like I need some clay. And he's like, man, I went crazy and mined like hundreds of everything. I'll just get you some from my cupboard and just drop it out the front of my house and then you can have it. I was like, great. Like things like that.
Yeah, right.
But I had the same thought of like, I'd love to have a day where I just open it up to listeners of this.
Maybe we
work out a time to all hang out on each other's islands and it's get you to take photos with each other.
Yeah.
The little montage that you see when you leave your airport and the little thing it shows you of like, it's kind of like when you arrive at the very beginning of the game, you see the silhouette of the plane kind of flying overhead.
Yep.
You get this nice little in-flight announcement. You know, you have your little dodo captain there who tells you like, hey, just come back when you're ready to go. Yeah, all that stuff is so cute and well done. And yeah, I'm loving visiting other people's islands and just seeing what they got going on.
Yeah.
The layout's different. The types of animals they have there is different. You just kind of pot around. You pick what you need. You go back. It's nice.
Because I haven't seen... I know that a lot of people are like farming tarantulas.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen a single tarantula.
I saw two last night and you have to sneak up and get them in a certain way because otherwise they scare you and you faint. And you wake up outside your house.
They can run at you and you can net them while they're running at you too.
Oh, yeah. Apparently. Like the wasps.
Yeah.
Right.
Can you net them?
Yeah.
I've been getting stung every fucking time.
Yeah, no, you'd spin around really quickly and net them.
I've just been trying to run to my house really quickly, but because I...
I did do that the first time and I just gave up.
Yeah. But then, you make your island a bit more accessible and build bridges and things like that.
Yeah.
It's a fun, easy, relaxing, calming time.
It's a true real life simulator in the sense that much like real life, I'm frequently walking to places and thinking, now why did I come here?
Just jamming my pockets full of fish.
Yeah. It's great. If you've got a Switch, I mean, everyone basically in the world is in the same position now.
Yep.
We're all freaked out. We've all got a lot of extra time and this couldn't have come along at a better time.
It
easily, like sitting there with my girlfriend the other day and just like 4 hours being sucked into just absolute bullshit, just dumb chores. And like I was just sitting there just feeling like I had to like be like, yeah, this is so dumb. It's so stupid. And she's like, this rules. What are you talking about? Yeah. Don't downplay it. This is nice. Like, this is so cool.
It's very nice.
It is definitely the word. It's one of the most accessible video games ever. Like, I can't see how anyone wouldn't enjoy some aspect of this.
In some ways, I mean, there are the fucking weird Nintendo things where it doesn't tell you that you can hold A on an item in your inventory to move it to a different slot and dumb shit like that, where just the act of playing it is a little bit
unintuitive.
Slight
things is when you plant things and you have to be standing on the exact right square.
I'm always shoveling the wrong fucking square.
Yeah, me too.
Things like that are just like, whatever, video games. But the mood of it is so pleasant that I'm loving it at the moment.
And what they've done in the past with these, and the last main one of these came out in like 2012, I think. And
it's a 3DS game.
And that got a lot of support at the time. Online events and kind of patches being added, and kind of because it's running on the internal clock, so it'll be like, oh, we're having the Winter Festival where all this stuff is happening. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what kind of stuff they add in updates and like just even finding out last night, like, hey, every Sunday morning there's a turnip festival where you can come and buy turnips, and then we sell them for the
turnips are basically the stock market there as well. They're like Bitcoin, where the price is set every morning and afternoon.
Oh, was this, something like this was in the previous game, wasn't
it? A lot of this is from the previous games. Like, if you've put heaps of time into one of the older games, maybe this doesn't offer enough for you to be sucked in. I can't speak to that.
I put a lot of time into New Leaf, a lot. And I was like wondering before playing this one, like, how did I sink so much time until I bought a 3DS for that game?
Wow.
And I just played only that for years and years. It's like, how did I just play that? And it's like, oh, that's right. I pulled out every weed every single day. I fished for 3 hours. Like,
and it's fucking nice to do. It's great. Just pleasant. It's a complete brain switch off.
Yeah.
It's just Sudoku or whatever.
The Nook Miles is like the best new feature of it for me, because for a game that is very like vague and directionless, especially when you first begin, it's a little bit like, oh, what the... New Leaf took ages to click with me because I was just like frustrated that I couldn't do anything yet.
Right.
You know, an apple is being bought for like $5 from me and my home loan's like $90,000. I'm like, this is going to take me forever. Just having the little screen of like, if you ever feel like you've kind of done anything at any given point, seeing like, oh, catch 2 more fish and then you'll get these 300 points and then you can afford that new Nook Miles ticket.
Yep.
Just having that little bit of guidance of like just something on a screen telling you like, yeah, you can, you know, go do this. Mm. Here's a little objective. Go do this and you'll get that like satisfactory little ding of the Nook Miles being put into your account is, I think, the best... Yeah, the best upgrade, the best kind of new feature of this one.
Totally,
for sure.
I agree with that. And not enough to be stressful, just the whole thing is very calm, very nice, very relaxing.
Yeah,
I haven't... And pleasant. I don't know if you have, Nox, but I haven't opened the Nook Miles thing and gone, what can I do next?
Yeah.
I've basically only been going, oh, I just got a ding... What did I do? Oh, I caught another fucking, you know, whatever.
I've been looking at the Nook Miles Plus things.
I just haven't. It's just been like a reward for what I've been doing, which is cool.
I've been specifically looking at them because if there's a task I was going to do anyway, I'll let that one dictate which one to do first because I'll get a little extra bit.
Yeah, right.
I've done it mostly when I needed a resource that I didn't have on my island. So it was
like, when you want to fly.
When I wanted to fly, I didn't have quite enough Nook Miles for a ticket. So it's like, okay, what's the thing that I'm a couple of insects away from achieving and that'll get me the 300 that I need?
Okay.
Yeah, very calm. Good time to play it.
Yeah.
Very relaxing, very stress-free.
If you want to, you can see where... If you're feeling like that old adrenaline gland, adrenal gland hasn't been squeezed enough.
I'm wondering how you're going to tie the dishwasher into this segue.
Maybe a way to pump up that heart rate would be to realize your dishwasher's on while you're recording. I hope it doesn't. Nah, Doom Eternal is the weird other side of this fucking coin.
So
the burnt two-faced side of
I cannot imagine wanting to play this game now. I'm going to probably play it today or tomorrow.
Doom Eternal.
But I'm surprised that so many people have jumped straight in on it.
It's been hard for... I've got to be honest. Mm. I was playing it this morning before I came here and it was the first... I feel calmer today than I have in a long time, weirdly enough. Mm. And it was the first day where I was like, oh, I'm actually enjoying playing Doom right. instead of it absolutely stressing me out too much, especially in contrast to Animal Crossing.
Mm. It's Animal Crossing is the making the tea and sitting on the balcony or whatever and looking at the world and just going like, ah. But Doom Eternal is the screaming into your pillow and you know, punching a fucking punching bag. And in that way, it's also great.
Right, okay.
I'm enjoying that part of it because it is...
That's a very normal reaction to what's happening as well.
Yeah. And it is so intense. Doom Eternal, so I just played through the 2016 Doom again in the last couple of weeks. It's very different in a weird way to that game. Because that game was very much like a first person shooter with some, you know, it was very high intensity and it was acrobatic in the way that Doom Eternal is. But Doom Eternal has added so much more to it that it feels closer to like a Devil May Cry or a Bayonetta type of game where the action is crazy intense. You've really got to be on top of your game at all times with it. And there are so many little skills and abilities and stuff to remember that you have constantly. Because the whole thrust of it is managing your resources that you've got.
When I was talking about Bioshock the other week, I was saying I liked that it was... It does have a bit of skill kind of stuff, but really not all that much. And I kind of liked that about it. And getting up to a point in Doom Eternal this morning where it just felt like every 3 minutes I was just looking at a new screen of like, here's how codecs work and here's how mods work. And here's, I was a little bit like, you know, it has to sort of like introduce you to all these things pretty early on. And it does make it hard to kind of get that flow in the first couple of introductory parts of it.
There's
and
a
all
lot
that stuff just tends to be like, fuck, another thing that I have to remember when I, you know, when
there's
I unlock
a lot going
a thing
on.
I've got to go into the screen and put the mod on. And
Early on, you will get overwhelmed by it, for sure. But I think it's doing that just with the idea of, look, if someone's going to stick to this, after a few hours, you'll be second nature of like, the little ammo warnings come up, so I better chainsaw a guy because then I get ammo.
Yeah.
And then I'll go over here and make this guy stagger so that I can do the glory kill thing and then I'll be able to get my fucking health back off of him.
Yeah.
And it's just 100 little terms like that of like blood punch and bullshit.
But then I remember I kind of felt the same way about the first one.
I was going
early
to say.
On till I was like, oh, God. And then, at a certain point, it's like the wheel of the mods of each weapon and all that kind of stuff.
It's a lot more of that cranked up. There's a lot more upgrades. There's so much going on. To its detriment at some point.
Right.
It's not an accessible game at all.
It got into this like very natural, like the glory kill stuff. Yeah, like it got, did you get ammo and health for it in the first one maybe?
I think you just got health in the first one too, but there was a lot more ammo around, I feel like. But maybe you did get ammo for it. I can't remember.
That was the loop of like, these guns for these guys, running out of ammo, go do a glory kill, run away, keep running constantly. Yeah. That was just the loop of the combat.
And you weren't really thinking about it as much, though, in that first one. You kind of just got it all naturally by playing the game.
Totally.
This one is really asking you to be, like, aware of how much stuff you have.
Right.
And what you're going to need next and which is the big monster here that you're going to need to kill first.
Right.
Who's got the weak points that you're going to need to aim at.
Yeah. It's a true sequel in that it assumes that you've just finished playing the first one and were really fucking good at it and what you want is an upgrade and a bit more of everything. It's not just like, you know, a sequel that's like, oh, just, you know, a bit more of the same. It is more of the same, but it really has assumed that you got to a point where you had absolutely mastered the first one.
And it's pushing it further where, completely it is expecting you to be able to make very precise shots.
Yeah.
And to know that you need to constantly be jumping and moving and getting around everywhere. It's satisfying, though, once you get into the flow of it.
All of that being said, at its best, so fun. Just satisfying, so fluid, so fast, just...
Looks great.
Looks great.
And purely just looking to give you adrenaline-y fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not... I was going to say it's not doing much else, but it is, and those are the points of it I like the least, is the fucking not good story that it's doing.
Story sucks.
Because there's these weird cutscenes where you're fucking meeting this ghost king who...
I don't know what's
going
on.
No idea who... No, I mean either.
It makes some of the worst JRPG storylines look pretty sensible by comparison.
Does the ghost king offer you an expensive item or an item you don't have?
Nothing. He just gives you some weird fucking Nordic bullshit. Ugh. And then you've got to look up who he is in the extra little codex things that you're picking up.
I've just been ignoring that.
It reminds me of Destiny where I'm doing the same thing. I'm ignoring it, and hey, I guess it's there to read if I get really into it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm mowing down demons. Right. The other thing that it's doing a bit, maybe it'll back off on this a bit, but it's been doing it a bit too much so far for my liking, which I forgot was in the first one and wasn't good in the first one. Trying to have these like platforming segments,
right,
that rely on a bit of like precision jumping and like grabbing onto walls, but it just, oh, I don't feel like it really suits the... The first person perspective is for having to make these like long... Are you finding any of that, or is it just
me? I'm not minding them, but at the same time, they're either annoying or not challenging. Do you know what I mean?
Like it's with all of them, it's like I'm failing once just because it's not quite clear. And then I go, oh, okay, I go there.
Because you've got a double jump and you've got a double dash thing.
It sounds like shitty Titanfall.
Kind of, yeah.
Like they maybe saw Titanfall 2 and was like, oh, we can take some element of this.
A little bit. They're neither here nor there for me, but right. That probably means, oh, well, don't put them in at some point. Because all of the acrobatic jumping shit that you do have is useful when you're in the like arena combat things.
Mm.
But then when it's just, well, you've got to get here and the only way to do it is to figure out what combination of jumps and dashes you need to get over this and climbing on walls and shit.
I guess they're not bad as a little breather. Like those areas so far, the ones I've done are often, you're not, there's no enemies around you, so you're just kind of having to traverse around up to the next area. And then, yeah, when you're in those, that loop of, it's almost, yeah, like deathmatch style. Mm. Like you're in this one little closed off bit, you got to wipe everyone out before you can go on to the next bit.
A little upgrade that I really, really like is that at the end of a level, it'll let you teleport back around the level and go collect all the shit that you've missed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So all the little secrets and all, like there are secret little combat bits and all that, which is a much improved way of letting you tick off all those boxes in your head.
Yeah.
That's nice. There's lots of little improvements like that, but also it has taken a couple of steps back in weird ways of like, the story and the presentation of it is not as good as the first one.
Mm.
The humor.
What do you mean by presentation?
As in, like, locking you into these cutscenes, and I mean, you can skip them, but
yeah,
just it. The kind of part of the point of the first one is that you were literally you were punching story things out of the way.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's focused into this weird story that it's telling that seems like you've missed a fucking book or something that came out in between the
two.
I
agree, right. Yeah. I never quite finished number one, so I thought maybe this was stuff that was just explained at the very end.
It feels like you're being chucked into the middle of something in an unpleasant way.
I'm hoping that this is just all set up and then it fades away.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I haven't finished it either yet.
I've been playing for like... maybe 2 hours or so.
Oh, so not much. Yeah, right. It keeps going.
Okay.
Yeah.
It built up in the first one.
Yeah, if anything, it's ramping up and it's going further into it. And whatever, it's easy to ignore if you want, and maybe the depth is there in the text things.
Right.
I've tried reading them, and I do not give a shit. It's a lot of fucking, you know, the... Aegis of whatever and the...
Yeah, like sort of crap.
Just
yeah.
those words that someone... It's very Doom, I guess, in the way of being like, oh, hell and heaven and bleh.
Yeah.
But it's boring.
But none of those negatives I've mentioned are really affecting my overall enjoyment out of it.
When
I'm actually playing it, I'm loving it.
Yeah, when you've got your teeth into it making you shoot things and dodge bullets, sick.
Really fun, really satisfying, and definitely something that, I'm looking forward to just... plowing all the way through. Super fun.
For sure. There's a multiplayer mode in there that I haven't tried yet because, you know, who gives a shit. But also, it is interesting, the idea of it where one player is the Doom guy. That's another thing, that the fucking, like, the little bits of humor that they've chucked into the main campaign suck compared to the first one. The first one wasn't really in your face with knowing that it was being silly. And this one is deliberately being silly where, like, the resistance on Earth calls you the Doom guy and all that sort of... Just little tongue-in-cheek things that the tongue's going a little too far.
Yeah, the first one had, like, balanced its tone perfectly.
Yeah.
We all thought it was going to be really lame.
I was thinking about that the other day when we were like, this might be one... This is the biggest misfire ever, and then comes out and it's great.
It was really, like, pitch perfect in how it didn't address itself at all. It just did stuff.
Yeah.
And it was cool because of that.
This one definitely is falling behind that first one on those fronts.
Right.
Just even the first one, what was it? You start off and you're just like, you waking up from a... What's the very beginning? You know, it's got that very like organic opening where it's just like, no cutscene. It's just like, oh, where am I? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like...
Then you wake up and there's a...
you're in a sarcophagus thing, and, yeah. and you start moving through, and someone tries to give you like literally mission objective show up on a screen, and you punch them out of the way because you're like, fuck this, and then you cock a shotgun in time to the music,
yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, cool,
yeah.
This game knows what it's doing, but it's not being a dick about it. And this one is being a little bit of a dick about
it. Yeah, okay. It just had this very organic, smooth start, whereas this has a big, like, the year, you know, like, really sucking its own dick about the lore of Doom. It's like, I don't care.
And you've got this spaceship all of a sudden, and it just doesn't really explain any of it, but then when it does explain it, it's boring, so whatever. Mm. And yeah, the multiplayer is a thing where one player is the Doom guy, and then another two are playing two demons, and it's two versus one. And it seems cool. I haven't tried it yet. Like I said, maybe I'll give it a go by next week. But again, the multiplayer for the first Doom was just an arena deathmatch thing that didn't really work for some reason.
Right.
And this one I'm not super interested in, but it looks more creative at least. But it's good. It's very much a sequel to the first one. If you enjoyed that one, you'll probably get something out of this one. Mm. But it's changed weird elements of it where it's less of a shooter and more of like an action kind of Devil May Cry type game.
Yeah, okay.
Where you feel like you're going to all these different... It's a lot more about placement on the map and resource management than shooting.
Yeah, okay.
In a weird way. It's still obviously all shooting.
Yeah.
But I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll just about do us for this week. I went on Amazon last night and went wild since no shops are going to be open soon, and did a big old cart of Persona 5 Royal, which is next week, Resident Evil 3, which is the week after that, and then Final Fantasy 7, which is the week after that.
Next week as well, I will have played, because I just, with the worst possible timing in the world, put money into being able to play Half-Life Alyx. I'll play that by next week. Again, I've told my girlfriend, like, hey, look, I need the entire living room for multiple hours of multiple days. And if you come in there, it's going to be the most embarrassing moment of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see how that turns out. But I'll have played that and we'll talk about that next week, because it's fucking crazy that we live in a world with everything going on where a new Half-Life game is out as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's awesome.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au. Get on the Patreon. Get the Bandcamp episodes if you haven't got them already. Go listen to Total Reboot.
Yeah.
Chuck them some coin if you can afford it, if you can spare it.
Yeah.
People in our kind of position definitely, very much appreciate.
We'll probably
need that at the moment.
Throw out a different potty each week or something as well, of just like, hey, maybe go have a look at this if you hadn't.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So if you're looking for recommendations, keep coming back here to get the recommendations. Mm-hmm. That's how we get you.
And yeah, thanks everyone in the Facebook group. If you're a Patreon subscriber, that's what you get added to. And it's been, as all, you know, look, even in normal times, it's a nice, pleasant oasis. But even more so at the moment, everyone's checking in on each other. Everyone's being very cool. So keep it up.
It's our Animal Crossing Island.
Yeah, the Animal Crossing thread. By the way, I forgot to say this. The Animal Crossing thread in there, I think it's the same guy.
Yes.
Has this link to a website where you can make artwork on it and it converts it into Animal Crossing, like gives you a QR code to have it in the game.
Mm.
And some guy had a picture of me from TV, which I thought was cool. And then another guy, maybe it's the same guy, had done all the Tame Impala album covers and had them all over
his
wall.
And our logo as well.
And our logo,
Nice.
Yeah. So seeing that kind of stuff is really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So yeah, maybe we'll, look that up. I didn't even know that existed. It's a website. You import a JPEG. It then gives you a QR code that you unlock the ability to use in the game. Yeah.
As a custom pattern or whatever it is. Yeah,
however it works. Leave us
a nice review on iTunes if you want as well.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks heaps, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Chips.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.